Okay, good evening, everyone. We are in the middle of the halachos, the positive commandments of Shabbos. We left off last time on Thursday night in regards to the halachos of cutting nails on Shabbos, in regards to cutting nails for a preparation for Shabbos. Just one halacha I just wanted to clarify. We had mentioned about buying food for Shabbos, that Hashem guarantees that we will get the money back, and I'd mentioned about leftovers. So Mrs. Littman pointed out to me that in Rebbetzin Kanevsky's book, on page 200, it brings from Chaim Kanevsky that if a person has leftovers after Shabbos, then even if they eat that food on Sunday or Monday, whatever it is, they still will get back the money for what they spent. And Reb Chaim Kanevsky says you could even buy a lot of food for Shabbos with in mind that there will quite possibly be left over for Sunday or Monday. You can't buy the whole week's amount of food, but something that is possible to eat on Shabbos, whatever is left over, a person will get back. So let's just finish up with the halachos of cutting nails. So after a person cuts their nails, whether it's in preparation for Shabbos or whether they do it in the beginning of the week, what does a person do with the nails? Where should they put them? So the Gemara in Ma'id Katan says something very strict, and the Gemara says that if a person is careless with their nails, they are called a rasha. They're called someone who is evil. And the Gemara says that the best thing to do is to burn your nails after they are cut. That is the best thing to do, to burn them. This way they're history. The second best is to bury them. This way they're out of sight. And the worst is to just leave them around. And the reason is, as I'm sure some of you know, is that if a pregnant woman walks over these nails, then that can cause the person to miscarry. And whether it's based on something physical, whether it's based on something Kabbalah, it seems like it's based on Kabbalah, the Mefarshim bring in the Be'er Heitev, that Adam and Chava, as you know, were covered with nails, and Chava caused the Avera of the Eitz Hadas, she caused Adam to sin, and because of that, the nails, you know, did not cover them anymore, just went to their fingernails, and therefore, the nails have somewhat of a connection to Chava in a negative way, and therefore, if a woman walks over it, it can have a bad effect on a woman. However, this is only where it fell originally. So if it falls to the floor, a person can make sure to sweep well, so then it is removed from their place. It's moved around. The Mishnah Berurah brings a machlokes if it needs to be moved to a different room totally, or if it's just moved from the original spot. Fine, but the best is to be careful and not just leave them laying around. In a Beis Medrash, a man is allowed to leave it around because no woman would be there. But the Paiskim say that to flush down a toilet is the same as burying it because it's out of sight. And we said that burying it is the second best. It's not the best as burning it, but it's the second best to bury it. And the Paiskim say that down the toilet is also just the same. I would assume also down the sink would be the same. It said over that the Chazon Ish would save his nails and burn them with the chametz. Fine, that's nice. If it's going to get lost or if it's going to spill, then it's just not worth it. The best is to just flush it down the toilet, the nails, perhaps to do it over the toilet automatically. This way they fall right in. Fine, however you have a way to make sure you keep them, that this way you'd be able to put them in the toilet after they are cut. Another halacha is that a person needs to wash their hands after they cut their nails with a cup, negavasser, three times on each hand. And we mentioned haircuts before. Also, after haircuts, a person needs to wash their hands. If you cut somebody else's nails, like your children's nails, then you do not need to. But if someone cuts your nails, then you need to wash your hands. And the reason is that it's what we call kasha l'shikha. It makes a person forget the Torah learning. So the sooner the better to wash your hands. This is for sure based on Kabbalah, and a person does not want to forget their Torah learning, and it has a ruach ra, an evil spirit, so a person should wash their hands. Now, for women, there's a big discussion whether women need to be careful about things that are of a Kabbalah to forget their Torah learning. Perhaps women are not obligated, so a woman definitely can be more lenient in regards to washing their hands after cutting the nails, perhaps after a manicure when a person doesn't want their nails to be ruined. So I guess you could be a little bit more lenient and you wouldn't have to wash your hands right away. Maybe you could wait, or you could wipe your hands on something that dries, that cleans them, like your clothes or wood. Fine, this is only when cutting hair or the rest of your body or the nails, but not on the rest of the body, such as a man shaves a beard or a woman or a man on the legs or eyebrows, something like that, that you do not need to wash your hands. This is only when it comes to the hair on the head or, as we said, on the nails. Like we said, three times on each hand, preferably to the wrist, and this is when you cut the nails with a scissors or a nail clipper or with teeth, but not if a person is just biting the nails out of a habit, that you do not need to. In all of these halachos, as far as washing hands, there's a discussion as far as if a person has a ruach ra, can a person learn Torah and say psukim and daven before they wash their hand? The Paiskim say, really you can. The Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Zohar, that you should not. So definitely, preferably, a person should wash their hands. Again, perhaps for women you could be more lenient, but the best would be to go ahead and wash your hands three times on each hand after a person cuts their nails. And when we discuss these things about Kabbalah, I once heard a great mashal from Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal. He says that, you know, so many times people say about Kabbalah that I don't understand how these things work. What does this mean? An evil spirit? And I find it so hard to do things if I don't understand it. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says that, you know, we drive a car and we never stopped driving a car because of the fact that we don't know how it works. You know, how does it work with the brakes and the engine and the starter? I don't know how these things work, but it never bothered me to get into a car to go ahead and do it. I don't know exactly how a phone works or how a computer works, but I go right ahead and I use it, even though I don't know how it works. When we do things based on Kabbalah that's brought in Halacha, that's based on Kabbalah, or Menhagim based on Kabbalah, we just do what we are told. And we don't see the results right in front of our face, like by a car or a telephone or a computer, so that's why it's hard, a little bit harder to accept it. But we know, we have emunah from our Chachamim, that we do what we are told, and we don't put our own minds into it. We don't make our own decisions. This is what we are told to do, and the Kabbalah, whatever works up in Shemayim, or whatever we are supposed to do based on the Halacha, or based on Kabbalah, we just go ahead. We don't have to understand everything, and we just do what we are told. And although it's only Sunday, but this coming week's Parsha is Parshas Chukas, and in the beginning of Parshas Chukas talks about the Parah Aduma, which is this idea, which is a chok. A chok we always refer to as something that we do not understand the reason for, and that is the rule, so is Chukas HaTorah, that is the rule for all the Torah. When we start putting in our own two cents, then that just makes things go off track. We have to follow the Halacha based on the Shulchan Aruch and our Chachamim. And, you know, today was Rosh Chodesh, and I'm sure some of you know what goes on Rosh Chodesh nowadays by the Kaisel, the women of the wall, and they make it very clear that their idea is not only just to wear tzitzis or tefillin, but they want to have all ideas of reform and to change. They say themselves out, you know, straight out that they want to change orthodoxy and they want to have their own way of thinking, and that just leads to going away from the Torah, the way we believe, the emes of the Torah, away from the Torah, away from the Shulchan Aruch. And, oh, you know, it's a mitzvah seish hazman grama, but we volunteer to do mitzvah seish hazman grama. Why can't we do tzitzis? Why can't we do the sefer, learn laying from the sefer Torah? Why can't we do tefillin? It says in Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, that's what we follow. When a person starts bringing in, you know, I was once somewhere where I was talking to somebody, and, you know, he asked me Halacha, and I told him what the Shulchan Aruch says. It was a Halacha that I happened to know of, and I told him what the Shulchan Aruch says, and he started saying, yeah, but I think this and this, you know, and it wasn't my job at that point to tell him that, like, I'm sorry, sir, but it doesn't make a difference what you think. You know, he was saying that he doesn't want to do it because he thinks not like that. It's a person needs to know, a person is allowed to understand the reasons behind the mitzvahs, definitely the Tamei Torah, the Tamei mitzvahs, definitely 100%, but not that that's what it depends on if we follow the Halacha. And that's something to keep in mind, especially when we have these ideas of Kabbalah, to always follow the Halacha, follow the Chachamim, and they will lead us on the right path. Okay, everybody should have a good night.